Let's look at how this stuff works. Your account information is removed from your credit bureau report after it is 7 years, after 7 years from the date of last activity on that account. And since I have no debt accounts that have any activity on them in the last 7 years, it's completely clean. Okay? The exception to that is if you have filed a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and that will stay on 10 years. But everything else is going to stay on for 7 years. That's how it happens. The Chapter 7 is a 10-year stick. Everything else is 7 years from the date of last activity. Now, if you haven't paid the bill and you've got a bad debt, they may figure out a way to keep the activity going on that, okay? But just not paying it and think it'll go away, that's not the point. The point is, once something is old, bad credit, it will drop off as long as it's just like you paid something slow. That time 4 years ago you paid your car payment slow when you got laid off, that's getting less and less important the older it gets. And by the time it's 7 years old, it will just completely go away. That's the point of that. The only information that can be removed legally from your credit bureau report is inaccurate information. Do not fall for credit repair scams. You cannot repair credit except if the credit has inaccurate items on it. If you've got something on there that's somebody else's account, you can have that taken off. If they've inaccurately reported your account, you can have it either corrected or removed, and we'll walk through that. But don't go paying somebody money to do this. But there are a lot of errors out there, so you need to know how to clean up inaccuracies. The Public Interest Research Group did a whole survey and a study of credit bureaus. They found 79% of credit reports contained some kind of mistake. That's a lot. And 25% of the bureau reports contained errors that were serious enough to keep you from getting a loan. Not like we're trying to get a loan, but pretty serious error, in other words. And 30% of the credit reports contained credit accounts that had been closed by the consumer, but had never been shown closed on the bureau. So you've got to look at that as well. These are vital pieces of information in a world that depends on databases. And this is your electronic reputation. 22% of the bureaus, about a fourth of them, had the mortgage on there or another loan on there twice. A duplicate. This affects you. It affects your car insurance. It affects other things as well. It affects your homeowner's insurance rates. So you've got to be managing your electronic reputation. So what do you do if you have an inaccuracy? Well, to start with, you need to check your credit report annually. You need to pull it annually. You can now pull it, according to federal law, free. The credit bureau has to give you a free report if you request it once a year. There are three of them: Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And so if you take one free one from each of those, you could get a free report every 4 months if you really, really, really wanted to be just like too much on top of this and didn't have a life. But I do recommend you pull something at least once a year and look at it, because identity theft is running rampant. There's all kinds of problems, and you don't want to wait until you're about to do something and then find out, because it takes a while to clean up a mess if there's a mess on there. Now, there are sample letters at the back of this lesson, and here's what you do if you find an error. You look on your bureau and you say, oh, that says I paid that Visa bill late. I did not pay that late. And I have proof in my file that I didn't pay it late. That is an inaccurate item, okay? And when you're looking at that, you say, okay, I'm going to send them a letter. Now, according to the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act of 1977, recently updated, they have 30 days once you notify them that the item is inaccurate to correct the inaccuracy or completely remove the entire item. That's how that works. And so you've got to work through that process. We'll cover that in a few minutes. Now, what do you do if you've got identity theft? And identity theft is rampant. 15 million people this year have had their identity stolen. Their social security number, their driver's license number, their credit card number or numbers. It is the fastest growing white collar crime in North America today. So what to do, what to do, what to do? Well, when we get to the insurance lesson, I'm going to talk about identity theft protection, which I now believe in, if you get the right kind, and I'll show you what to do with that. But if you don't have that, and if you have your identity stolen, here are the steps and here's what you do. Because it takes the average consumer about 600 hours to clean up a mess once their identity is stolen. It's a big deal and it's a problem. The first thing you do is you place a fraud victim alert on your credit bureau report. A fraud victim alert on your credit bureau report. And you can do that for free. You can simply go online and just report that the fraud victim situation. Danger, danger. Don't anybody else pick up an account off of this name. Now, if you go ahead and do the next step, which you should do, is get a police report. If you do that and you turn in the police report to the credit bureau, they then will make that fraud victim alert permanent on your bureau. If you do not, it will only stay on 90 days. They'll leave it on there for 90 days and then they'll drop it off. If you don't get a police report showing that your identity has actually been stolen. So go get a police report if you have suspicion or proof that it's been stolen. Sadly, it's usually fairly easy to have proof because about 80% of the identities are stolen by people you know, called scum. When you steal someone's name, when you sign someone's name, it's not your name, you are by definition a criminal. You are a bank robber. This is a crime. It's criminal fraud, go to jail time stuff. Okay? So this is not it's not something you want to fool with. So when you do the police report, you got to tell the truth. It was my mother. It was my brother. It was my old roommate. It was my ex-fiance. It was this guy down at work. I mean, if you know, you got to say. Otherwise, you're participating in the fraud then. Okay, so you have to be completely clean with this process. The next thing is, remember, this is theft. When someone steals your checkbook, one time a guy threw a brick through my wife's window while she was at the gym, grabbed her purse out, and went and started writing checks on our account, signing Dave Ramsey and Sharon Ramsey's name on the checkbook. Were we liable for those checks? Yes or no?
No.
When they got to the bank accidentally paid one of them, and the bank ate that one. The rest of them, the bank denied, and the store didn't get to collect the money. They called us, wanting the money. We said, we're not paying you the money. We didn't sign the checks. A thief did that. You didn't check ID. You lost the money. That's how that works. If you'd have looked at that lady's picture, I don't think it would have looked like Sharon. It's just my thought. I don't know. And I think that's what you'd have found. So they lose their money. So when there's a theft occurs, you're not liable in this situation, so you owe nothing, and you need to pay
nothing.
Remember that. Because the credit card companies and some of these other people will act like you're the criminal and you're supposed to pay. And all these bad things are going to happen to your credit if you don't pay. And that's wrong. Someone stole your identity. Open an account with Doofus Bank Incorporated over here because Doofus Bank didn't check and make sure it wasn't Toby Cocker, the Cocker Spaniel. And then they went and ran up a bill. Well, the bank is the one that got ripped off by the criminal, not you. You didn't lose any money, nor do you owe any money under the law. And don't let them bully you or push you into paying something that you don't owe. That is a big deal. The next thing you do is to contact the fraud victim division of the creditor and furnish them documentation. Now, sometimes when you contact the fraud victim division, again, they're going to treat you like you did something wrong because they think you ran up the bill and just don't want to pay it and you're acting like it's fraud. And that I'm sure that happens sometimes, but they treat everybody that way. And it's crazy. Customer service is two words that don't go together in the credit card world, okay? So when you go to the fraud victim division, be prepared, if you're the victim, to be treated like the criminal. And don't be pushed into paying this stuff. And here's what you've got to do. You've just got to be persistent. You now have a new hobby. And you will fight this, and you will provide documentation, and you will fight it, and you'll provide more documentation, and then you're going to send out more letters, and then you're going to do this, and you're going to put these freezes on your bureau and these different things, and finally, eventually, it'll go away. And I'll tell you what, yeah, if it's a relative of yours, you need to take care of this. Just a thought. Now, correcting a credit report inaccuracy, like we were talking about a while ago, the 1977 Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act requires the credit bureau to remove any and all accuracies within 30 days of notification. So we notify them. We notify them with a letter. The sample letter is here in the lesson, and it just says, this item is inaccurate according to the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act. You have 30 days to fix this item or remove it. You do not have to identify what's wrong with it. You just have to say, this item's inaccurate. Then they go to Visa, they go to the bank, they go to American Express or whoever it is, and American Express doesn't answer, they have to take the whole thing off. Now, if the lender or the creditor answers and says, oh, yes, it is accurate, Your beef is now not with the credit bureau. Your beef is with the person reporting to the credit bureau inaccurately, and you got to go to them and dig this weed out by the root. But you can get it taken off, because about most of the time when you dispute an item, that lender will never get around to answering the dispute within 30 days, and it'll be cleansed off. It may pop back on there later when they download some databases again. But at least you got it off for that period of time. And if it keeps popping back on there, then go to the source and dig it out. That's how that's going to work. All of these letters should be sent certified mail, return receipt requested, so that you can prove that they got the letter. You got the letter on June 6th, so you have till July 6th. You have 30 days. After that, I'm going to make you my new hobby. I'm going to just beat on you until you take the entire item off. I don't want to hear correspondences in the mail. You have 30 days by federal law. Cleanse it. That's it. I'm not arguing with you about this. And if you get on them like that, they'll do it. You have to be persistent. If the item isn't corrected within 30 days, you should request that they remove the entire item from your file. Get it completely out of your life. If you have complaints, you lodge those on this subject with the Federal Trade Commission. With the Federal Trade Commission. Now, let's look at dealing with collectors. Now, you may be in here and you're not in financial trouble. Most of the people that go through Financial Peace University are not behind on their bills. But a percentage are, and this lesson is certainly for them. For some of the rest of you, you know someone that's behind, and you often enter into these situations where you hear about collectors doing things they're not supposed to do, and I want to educate you for that reason, because I think the power of the marketplace can cleanse this industry that's out of control. And so I teach you with that in mind, and I want you to have information, because those of us that have information have power. Knowledge is power in a knowledge-based economy, and that's what we're sitting in. And you may have a relative, you may have your 82-year-old grandmother's being abused by some collector, and then you'll know how to handle this situation. It's very powerful. I'll show you what I'm talking about.